march around the throne. Amen. Sometimes every once in a while we like to get the kids out and active in the song service, and they get to march around the church, and it helps them to participate. That's how they learn to participate. But one day we'll all be marching around the throne. We'll all be giving praise and glory and honor to Him. And it's all right to every once in a while just let yourself think about them kind of things. Amen. Because here on this earth, what do we deal with? We deal with the here and now. We deal with the fallen world. We deal with a lot of stuff that it's not going to be like that in heaven. It's not going to be like that. Amen. The Bible says that He's going to take away all pain, all sorrow. And we're just going to be with the Lord in our glorified bodies, giving praise to Him. You think of the best service you have ever been in. Maybe the time you got saved. Times it by a million. And then for eternity. Amen. It's all right to think about that. Amen. All right, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we have something the Lord gave to us. We already did announcements, but just kind of most of you already know, but the pastor was at a wedding last night, and it was a good ways off. The Andrews is, John and Cindy Andrew, their youngest son, Zach, got married. Amen. And I know that Tom and Linda, you know, have always been a big part of their life. And so we all wish we could have went down there, but we didn't. So we're here. So we're going to have church. Amen. So that's why you see me and you don't see Pastor. But he thinks he's going to actually be back for tonight. Amen. So make sure we're back here, 5:30 prayer, 6 o'clock for the service tonight. Amen. But God gave us something from the Word today. Amen. A couple different places. We start out in the book of Luke chapter 11. And we'll start out with verse 5. Right before this, we see the Lord's Prayer. Jesus kind of gives them an example of how to pray. He's teaching His disciples to pray. And then we get to Luke chapter 11 in verse 5. And that's where we're going to pick up the story today. Before we do any reading, let's pray over the Word today. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. God, Your Word is life, and it's light to us, and it's help, and it's strength, Lord, and it's encouragement, God. And we're asking You to do just that today. Encourage the feeble-hearted, Lord. Encourage us, God. Strengthen us. Give us courage, God, to stand firm, God, to believe that You are. And the Bible says You are a rewarder of those that diligently seek You, God. God, reward us today with Your presence and Your Spirit as we diligently seek You here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That's Scripture. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's Scripture. That's Bible. Amen. Sometimes it could become like a burden, like seeking the Lord, like reading your Bible. Amen. We got to remember that God rewards those that seek Him. What does He reward them with? With a greater knowledge of Him. Amen. And it's easier for God to work in a life of someone that's been seeking Him. It's easier for God to use somebody. It's easier for God to bring them through difficulties and battles of someone that's seeking Him. God forbid that we only call upon God in the time of need. Amen. But we don't need to do that. So we start out in the Bible in Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And it says this. And He said unto them. So Jesus is going to give us a parable here. So it's a story that He gives to bring out a point. Maybe some of the parables were true. Maybe some of them were just stories. But Jesus is trying to get a message here. Verse 5, and Jesus said unto him, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. We will finish this parable. We will finish this story here, but we're going to start there, and we're going to make our first point. So, your person, put yourselves in this shoes. It's late at night. All the stores are closed. So it must be pretty late because Tops closes at 10 o'clock. How many of us are guilty at going 9:55? Some of us are probably sleeping, put away for the night. But I'll stick my hand up in the guilty at 9:55. It's like, Oh, we need milk for tomorrow. What time is it? Oh, it's 9:55. We sprint down the road. We go in the store and we get the milk. How many of us are guilty and can raise up our hand and say, we tried to do that at like 10:05. And then we look at the clock and we're like, we don't even get out of bed. We're unprepared for the morning. Like we're in trouble because there's going to be nothing in the morning, and then we're going to have to get out. We're going to have to get dressed. We're going to have to go to the store. We're going to have to buy the milk, buy the cereal, and then come back home. And by then, we're ready for the day. I know. Sometimes I am unprepared. That's why God gave me a lovely wife. She's been away for a couple days. Amen. At her parents' house. So if you're listening to this, hon, I need you, and this weekend proves it. I'll just throw that in there. But it's the truth. It's the truth. So this friend has somebody that comes to him in the middle of the night, and he doesn't have nothing to give him. He's unprepared. He's in his house, and his friend comes from a long journey, probably hungry, and he is unprepared to give to his friend. And sometimes in our life, do we not feel unprepared to give? Maybe we haven't been. We've been going through our own situation. We've been going through our own battle. We've been facing things, and sometimes it's just a psychological thing. In reality, we know we can't give them anything of our own as far as spiritual substance. I can't offer anybody anything outside of God. If anybody receives anything good from me as far as spiritually is concerning, it wasn't me that gave it anyways. It was the Spirit of the Lord giving the Word of God to them to strengthen them. But sometimes, you know, mentally, we just kind of feel unable to do much of anything or give much of anything. And it's a horrible state that this man was in. He was unprepared, unwilling, and there's a mental block that sometimes comes upon us. Sometimes situation brings it on. Sometimes circumstances. Sometimes it's our own fault. And we're unable, we feel, let me reword this, we feel we're unable to give anything good spiritually to whoever the Lord would want us to minister. And does not the Lord want us to minister to people? Yeah. He absolutely does. That's, as a Christian, we are not without purpose and meaning in this life. The purpose and meaning is not just getting saved and giving your heart to God and living right for God. That's not. The purpose and meaning comes in ministering to others. I mean, that's where we find value in this life, is being able to minister. If you don't minister to anyone, you don't feel value. You don't feel kind of worthlessness and hopelessness will set in, and you'll be like, well, what good I am? What good am I? What worthless? And sometimes mental blocks come upon us. Every Christian, I maybe you're the exception, but mental blocks come on me, and, well, what good am I? You know, I don't got any spiritual bread. This man didn't have any bread. He didn't have any substance, any food to give, and you kind of, well, what good am I? And kind of then it gets into our self-esteem and it wears us down, and it is a very destructive thing, but that's not the case. So to help us understand this point, and hopefully I can turn there, because my tab that had it marked just pulled out. So I turned there. Luckily I did. The Matthew chapter 17. It did its job. As I was turning, it fell out, but I was able to turn. Matthew chapter 17, the transfiguration of Christ, where three of his disciples went up the mountain with Jesus, and they had an encounter with Jesus up there where God says, this is my beloved son. How many of us like mountaintop experiences? Salvation would be a mountaintop experience. I asked that question, but that was kind of a silly question. Of course we like mountaintop experiences where God blesses us and strengthens us and encourages us, and we honestly need them. The Bible said in the book of Acts, I believe it was chapter 4, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. If we don't have times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord and we go a while without it, we just get wore out. Like we're susceptible from attacks from the enemy, from getting depressed. So these three disciples had a great thing. But then at the bottom of the mountain, we find a father. At the bottom of the mountain, starting in verse 14, we're not gonna go into it too much. But when they come down off the mountain in verse 15, we see a situation that had happened. So there was a multitude gathered in verse 14. And then there was a man in verse 14 that came, and then he kneeled down before Jesus, saying in verse 15, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes he flaileth into the fire and oftentimes into the water." So there was a situation with his son that the man had no control over. Sometimes in life we get situations we have no control over. How many people do you think in the Cain area that are dealing with a situation and they're hurting real bad and they have no control over it? I bet you the number is really high. Let me bring out this point. Miracles happen in the valley, not on the mountaintop. Let that sink in. Brother Frazier said this at camp. He actually preached a whole message on it. It's not the message I'm preaching today. But miracles happen in the valley, not the mountaintop. We love the mountaintop. We need the mountaintop. But Peter and John, when they were up there on the mountain, they asked Jesus, "Well, let's stay up here. Let's build a tabernacle for Moses and one for Elias and one for you. And let's just stay up here on the mountain." And Jesus no, we're not going to stay up here on the mountain. We're going down. Why? Why did they need to go down? Because there was someone dealing with a situation that they had no control over because it was bigger than them. And Jesus had to leave the mountaintop. But when he gets down there, we find verse 16. "And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." So, the disciples were kind of like the man that did not have bread for his friend that came at midnight. Did not have no bread. The disciples, They wanted, they seen the need, they tried to minister to the need with what they really, but they couldn't minister to the need. There are some things that only God can do and only the Spirit and the power of God can do. And later on in this portion, we see them say that Jesus said to them, "This kind cometh out not but by prayer and fasting." And the disciples hadn't learned that in their ministry yet. When Jesus was on the earth, the disciples did not fast. They were learning to pray, as we see right before this. Jesus was teaching them to pray, but they did not. So Jesus was telling them that there are some things that only the Spirit of God can move in that situation. But still, it's a pretty depressing place to be when you just can't help the situation. You can't help. And I couldn't imagine how this man is so moved. He's so taken up. And the disciples want to help so much. They want to help so much, but they have nothing that they could offer. They try to offer, but they kind of have nothing, absolutely nothing to offer. Before we get into the last part of the message today, let's talk for just a little bit on the mental block that kind of comes that stops God from using us. And that's the mental block of, "I can't, I'm useless, there's no point, I might as well not, God can't use me." Them are all lies from the enemy, but them all come at times to Christians because circumstances weigh around us and it causes us sometimes to feel like we can't, we're unable to. Let's look at this. Let's flip over to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Amen. Man, don't tell on me with pastor because I don't think I'm going to be much longer. Don't say, "Wow, we got out 15 minutes early." Maybe we won't. Maybe it'll go right up. It's only 11:32 right now. But don't tell on me. So we're in the book of Jeremiah. No, he would be fine as long as we deliver the word of God. I know, Pastor would be. I'm just joking here, just being light. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says this. It says, this is God speaking. And he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So, I won't get into the details, but the children of Israel had wandered from God, and Jeremiah had given them a promise, and he says, to those that are going to follow me, those that are going to search me, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. An expected end. So God's hand is upon the child of God, not just on the mountain, but in the valley. In the valley. And God has a plan for your life. God has a direction for your life. Over to the book of Psalms, chapter 139. Amen. Our purpose is in God. Our hope is in God. Our purpose is sharing God with other people in the valley. And valleys are not very nice places to be. The mountain seems so refreshing, seems so good, seems so encouraging. But the valley is kind of burdensome. It's kind of heavy. There's heavy weights in the valley. The valley is long. The valley has rivers to cross. The valley has enemies in it. The valley has all kinds of things trying to destroy us. Amen. But miracles happen in the valleys. Miracles happen. Psalms chapter 139. And, this is just so much good. Let's just start in verse 14. And I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God saw you in your mother's womb and had a plan for your life. And I know we know the scripture, but we need to remind ourselves of it. Is God had a plan for our life before we were even born. Now, do some people miss the plan of God? Do some people are in it and then they get out of it and hopefully they come back to it? But some never get to the purpose and the meaning and the fulfilling that the Lord has for their life. But it doesn't need to be that way. Because when God creates something, he doesn't create it without purpose and without meaning. Do we believe that? We do believe that. Verse 17, this is from the Lord. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, and how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sands. When I awake, I am still with thee. I am still with thee. What's God's thoughts towards you? What's his plans for your life? Is it destruction? Misery, there's no way you'll ever be used. God can't use you. Is he that kind of God? No. Why would he create something that was destined for that? You know, where there was no hope. Now, some people, that's the lot they choose. And when you choose outside of the will of God, then that is the lot you will get. But when you choose the will of the God, there is purpose. The Bible declares that God doesn't create a human that is just going to be no purpose, but there's purpose. The Bible says that God doesn't wish that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So our purpose was given to us by God, and God's thoughts concerning us were good thoughts to use us. for the glory of God, to use us for the glory of God. So getting back to the point at hand here, this man, way back in the book of Luke chapter 11, somebody comes to the house at midnight. This man has nothing to offer. Nothing to offer. And I felt like the Lord, maybe he just wanted to encourage me today. Maybe he wants to encourage you too. But I felt like God was encouraging me and saying, yes, I know that you feel like you have nothing to offer, but you have me. Just offer me. Offer me to the world. This phrase dropped in my heart a while back in prayer. I think I even preached a message on it sometime. Maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't. But is there not a cause? If there wasn't a cause, then Jesus and Peter, and I forget who else was up there with them, John, and there was one more, James, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong on that part. But if there was no cause, then why'd they ever need to come down the mountain? They could have just stayed up there in the presence of God. God could just call us up to heaven, and God will when there's no cause. When there's not a cause to be had, a cause to live for, a cause to fight for, when it gets to that point, God's going to pull his church out or he's going to pull us out. But there is a cause, because when they come down off the mountain, they found a man that threw himself and said, I need you, Lord. My son is a lunatic, and he throws himself into the fire. And the rest of the story goes on is how Jesus touched the child and prayed for him, and the spirits come out of him, and he was delivered and set free. And so is there not a cause? Think about the causes in our life, what we see. I said it earlier, how many people in Cain right now, people we even know, are facing impossible situations that they need the power and the Spirit of God to touch. And we look and we say, well, I can offer him nothing. Except you can offer him God. You can pray. You can believe God. You can give them God and the power and the Spirit of God to set them free from what they got. So finish this story. Luke chapter 11. We read verse 5 and 6. I'll read 6 again. For a friend of mine is in a journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer. So you're knocking on the door. You go to your friend's house in verse 5. And you kind of explain what's going on in verse 6. And then in verse 7, this is what you're telling your neighbor. Verse 6. For a friend of mine, that's verse 6. Verse 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Verse 8. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, and yet because of his importunity. What does that word mean? That word means, it's translated, persistency. So persistence. Because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So this man knocks on the door, and his neighbor, his friend, which is his neighbor, said, my kids are in bed. The door is shut. Like, go leave. And what does the guy do? The guy keeps knocking. You know, there's this false doctrine and belief out there that you ask Jesus for something once, and he heard you, and he knows, never ask again. Well, if that's the case, then why'd you even ask him to begin with? Because he's all-knowing, and he knows your problem. So don't even ask God anything. No. Asking and communicating with God forms a relationship. If you're going through a tough time, you go to your friend once, and you know your friend's there for you, you better not go again. Because you already went once. No, you go again, and you go again. And it's the same thing. He was knocking. His neighbor friend said, I can't. He knocked again, and he knocked again, and he was a good friend, and he finally opened up the door and gave him as much as he has needed. What do you need from the Lord to give out to those that are hurting around you? To those that are in the valley with you? What do you need? What do you need from the Lord? Because remember, you have nothing to give them. But the Lord Almighty, He has the bread from heaven. He has the answer. He has the Spirit and the power of God. And so when you're at your end and you don't feel like there's nothing, what I want to talk about just for a moment here is a persistent faith. A faith that believes that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That God is able to do, the Bible says, exceedingly and abundantly above that which we can ask or think. Because He is a God of gods. God, we're talking about the Creator of the universe. All power is given to Him. We're talking about a God that can make a way where there is no way. We're talking about a God that can form life out of nothing. God that can change and move and work in situations. That's what kind of God we're talking about. So yes, somebody comes. We don't have nothing to give them. But as long as we have faith in God, as long as we keep going back to the door and we keep knocking, the Bible says what? It says, after the story, Jesus said unto them, verse 9, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Who doesn't receive? The one that doesn't knock. The one that doesn't seek. The one that just quits. And that's where we get back into this mental block. I have nothing to offer. There's no point. There's no purpose. I'm useless to God. This mental block comes on us sometimes. It does. At least it comes on me sometimes. That's a lie from the enemy because we're not offering them what we got. We're offering them what we get in the presence of the Lord. What we get in our times of reading the Word of God, of spending time with God. What we get. Sometimes, you know, life gets difficult and it gets hard. But in them times, the Lord is moving and working and He's doing something far greater in you. And He's creating a persistent faith inside of you. Believing God when it's tough. That is a persistent faith. Like when it's tough. And we're just like, we're telling a story about a guy's asking for bread. Like, okay, that's easy to be persistent about. But sometimes the situations are a lot more dire that we go through. But what it is, it's forming in us a persistent faith. Where, okay, Lord, I'm believing you. Lord, it's tough right now. It's hard. But Lord, my faith is still in you. Lord, I'm still coming back. I'm still asking. I'm still pressing in. And after you do that, I'm talking to a lot of mature Christians here that have been doing it for a while. Amen. You've kept coming back. And you've had to have faith through it all. Sometimes our faith wearies. Sometimes it grows and we get wearied and we get burdened down. But we jump back up and we've been strengthening our faith. And that's when we're able to give. To give. To give. I want to give. I want to give. Is there not a cause? There's a cause for me to keep the faith. There's a cause for me to keep fighting. Sister wants to come up to the piano. We'll sing a song. There is a cause to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Because if we don't, it won't be good for us, for those around us. But there is hope, and it's found in Jesus Christ. It's found in Him. Amen. And today, I'm not sure exactly what we're going to sing, but let the faith of God arise in your heart. This wasn't a message to rebuke you, but to encourage you, because the faith that we have in God will translate to miracles in the valley. The faith that we have in God will translate to miracles in the valley for us and for those around us. Amen. Because remember, miracles happen in the valleys. In the valleys. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray here this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're a God of miracles, God. God, you are a God of miracles. God, and we give you the glory for what you have done. God, we have seen the hand of God work in our lives, God, and we don't want to give up on that. We don't want to turn our back to that. But God, we want to believe that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. God, in this morning, let the faith of God arise in our hearts. Oh, Lord, let the faith of God arise in our hearts. Amen, amen, amen. That victory will come. God, that victory will come in Jesus' name. Oh, that our faith won't be wavered, Lord, but we'll believe God for a victory. God, I pray with the church today. God, we're believing you for victory. God, we're believing you for healing. God, we're believing you for the strength of our loved ones, for the strength of those that come in contact with us. God, we're believing you for victory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.